Best of Times Radio Hour, live on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel, a show dedicated to seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. Here's your host, Gary Kaligas.
Good morning, radio listeners. I'm Gary Kaligas, the publisher of The Best of Times, the only magazine and radio show for mature adults in Northwest Louisiana. I do thank you for tuning into our show today and also thanking those who might be listening via the internet at www.710keel.com. Also thanking those who might be listening via the Keel applications on their Apple or Android devices. We also thank those who might be listening via this podcast on Apple Podcasts or the bestoftimesnews.com podcast. We thank AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer for being exclusive sponsors of this radio show to provide you with beneficial information each and every Saturday morning. In just a few minutes, we're going to learn about three areas at Ochsner LSU Health here in Shreveport, which was nationally recognized for outstanding outcome improvement in the areas of stroke, heart disease, and diabetes. So stay tuned to the show for some very beneficial information for you and your loved ones. It is Saturday, December the 14th, and we are broadcasting our show from the studios of News Radio 710 Kiel, a Town Square media station here in wonderful Shreveport, Louisiana. However, today's radio show has been pre-recorded, so we will be unable to accept calling questions and comments from our loyal radio listeners. Be sure to pick up the November-December issue, The Best of Times, at one of our 270 distribution locations. We thank you for the many compliments about our magazine. We do appreciate hearing from you. Remember, if you're unable to find a printed copy at one of our 270 distribution locations, you can always visit our popular website at www.thebestoftimesnews.com to view both current and past issues of our magazine. In addition, you can listen to previously broadcast shows here on the Best of Times Radio Hour. In addition, you can view and download the 2024 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory. Speaking about the Senior Resource Directory, we are working on the 2025 Senior Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory, which will be distributed on March 1st of 2025. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Kiel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
Right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel. And now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Welcome back to our show, The Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I do thank you for taking time to listen to our radio show today. Joining me on my show are three special guests from Ochsner LSU Health here in Shreveport, and they're going to be discussing the areas of stroke, heart disease, and diabetes. First of all is Dr. Hamashu, right? He's going to be from the neurology department at LSU. He's going to be talking about stroke. And then we have Dr. Kalgi Modi, who is an interventional cardiologist, and she will be talking about heart disease. And Dr. Evelyn Pryor, who will be from the internal medicine department, will be talking about diabetes. So thank you, ladies and gents, for joining us today. And congratulations to you and all your colleagues and other staff at Ochsner LSU Health for achieving these amazing honors about improvement in patient outcomes. It's going to benefit us now as well as in the future. And I give you accolades. I put you on a pedestal, and I thank you. I know it's a challenge to get these kind of accolades when you're trying to do taking care of patient care, but also trying to find out various guidelines from the American Heart Association. So as a quick overview, ladies and gents, the American Heart Association recognizes hospitals across the country for consistently following up-to-date, research-based guidelines to ensure all patients have access to life-saving care. And those, Ochsner LSU Health has been nationally recognized by the American Heart Association for commitment to patient care in the areas of stroke, heart disease and diabetes. And so they achieved some remarkable awards, two of the highest levels in this prestigious for throughout the country. So we're talking about thousands and thousands of hospitals throughout the United States were part of this program, and LSU here, Ochsner LSU Health, recognized. So again, congratulations, ladies and gents and doctors here. So so we're going to talk about specific areas here and why, and we're going to start with the stroke, because Dr. Hamishu, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, I'm Dr. Himanshu Chakawala. I'm a stroke neurologist and interventional neurologist further. My background is I come from India, and I did my neurology in Shreveport, and I have been practicing for the last 10 years now.
Really? You look so young. 10 years. You started when you were 18. Let's hope. Well, we're glad to have you here in the Shreveport and Bossier City area. So thank you, Doc. So what should seniors know about strokes, and why is the awareness so critical in this age group of seniors and boomers?
Stroke is one of the leading causes of disability, especially in the older population. And now for the last 15 years, we have certain interventions which we can do to reverse the stroke symptoms if the patients come in within good time window. And we can talk further about the time windows. And there are further treatment that we can offer to reduce the disability.
Well, just like in any medical field, I've always been impressed that this particular issue of strokes have come a long way. And I'm sure the clinical researchers, your people, as well as other researchers have progressed and watched this and improved it. I can remember, I'm 74. I can remember years and years ago when he had a stroke, the outcome was not great. And a lot of things were tried, TPA, whatever. I'm sure they still probably do it now. But back then, the success rate was not as quickly. And people didn't recognize quicker is better. And we're going to say it's important that patients what? Seek medical help as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. So at Ochsner LSU, we are a comprehensive stroke center. Being a comprehensive stroke center, we have the ability to provide the highest level of care that anyone can get in U.S. Apart from giving this clot-busting medication called TPA, we also have the ability to go in to the blood vessel in the brain and get the clot out within reasonable time and potentially reverse the symptoms or reduce the disability.
Wow, that's remarkable. And that just happened in a matter of a few years. This is how, you know, this wasn't 15 years ago where they could do that, correct?
Yes, so the trials came out that they were helpful back in 2015, and we have been certified with Comprehensive Stroke Center since 2020.
So the important thing, the takeaway is it's highly treatable if caught early. Explain to our listeners what that means.
So what first we need to understand what the warning signs are the stroke. And there's a mnemonic which is easy to remember. Be fast, B-E-F-A-S-T. So if someone has any one of those symptoms, so B stands for sudden change in balance, E stands for eyes, so any sudden change in loss of vision in one or the other eye. F stands for face drooping. A for arm weakness. S for slurring of speech. And T is time to call 911. So any of those five symptoms, balance, eyes, face drooping, arm, and speech, rush to the emergency. We will determine whether there is a benefit versus the risk for clot-busting medication and further the need for intervention.
So emphasize to my listeners, it could be any one of those, not all of them. Because I think people have the misnomer, Doc, is that you have to have more than one, two or three majority before it's the need to call or go visit the ER.
Absolutely. So it is just any one of those symptoms, because it can be a smaller blood vessel that can be causing mild symptoms, which can further result into debilitating symptoms going down the line, which we can potentially reverse. So each minute counts. With each minute, millions of cells in the brain are dying, which can be prevented.
Wow. So the other warning signs, aren't there other some warning signs? Like I was told by one doctor before, severe headache that comes on quickly with no apparent cause. Is that one of them?
That is one of them as well. And confusion can present as stroke, which needs to be treated as well.
So, you know, people telling me I've got this tremendous headache, but they may not have any of the BFAST areas. They may, right? But they still had a severe headache.
And you can have bleeding in the brain as well, which we would not know till we... So patients will present with headache in case of bleeding in the brain, which we can also help if they come in within good time window.
And the other advice you say, don't wait for the symptoms. They might go away, hoping they will go away.
Yeah. So initially, the stroke symptoms can be dynamic. It can fluctuate, and before it settles down to get worse. So even if they resolve, you seek attention to the emergency as soon as possible.
So the American Heart Association Get With Guidelines Initiative, you have a certain action plans that within your particular facility that you must comply with. Is that what's part of it?
Yes. So being a part of the Comprehensive Stroke Center certification and the American Heart Association awards that we have gotten are because of our commitment to providing the standard of care that is required to get the best outcome. And we have consistently shown that in different aspects of our stroke care.
So, you know, you consistently provide that, and it's like a protocol that you go through regarding, right? Is that correct?
Yes, and we time ourselves so that we maintain that standard of care within the hospital and interacting with other systems in the area so that we help our partners around in the region.
So the one thing I would follow up, I think my listeners, what we're going to ask is, depending on when the person comes in, all the protocol is evaluated to determine if it's positive or negative? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
So we have a very strict time window in how fast we interact. Physicians reach the patient bedside within 5 minutes.
Wow.
We get the imaging done within 15 minutes, and we get the patient on the table for the procedure within an hour, and we consistently maintain that standards.
That is pretty remarkable. And let's go back to, you know, the important part is, I know my seniors out there and boomers out there, is what are some of the risk factors of stroke that we need to hopefully tell them to you know, decrease their probability or risk in getting a stroke and other particular healthcare issues like heart disease and diabetes?
Yes, so there are some basic common risk factors, which we will be, I think, talking throughout the hour with our other two physicians as well. Some of the common ones which overlap are smoking, uncontrolled high blood pressure, uncontrolled blood sugar, uncontrolled high blood cholesterol level, obesity, sleep apnea, sedentary lifestyle, excessive alcohol intake, and unhealthy diet.
Wow, those are a lot of risk factors. I can see people out there saying, how much is being obese? So obesity affects the stroke area. I mean, I never thought of that one. I could see with heart and diabetes, but I never thought it would affect the brain situation. But it does.
Yes. So what I usually mention is the underlying cause. It's not a primarily brain issue. It's a blood vessel problem.
Okay.
The blood vessel supplies the brain, and these risk factors affect the blood vessel. And it affects the brain and it causes stroke.
Wow. So let's say the person does have a stroke and you determine it, and you said every second counts. So, and they're possibly losing brain cells, et cetera. So what happens after that?
So if the patient meets the criteria and qualifies for the treatment, we give them emergent treatment. And after that, and if the patient does not meet, that is not end of all. We have physical therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy that they start getting right away while they are in the hospital. And the term that I use is it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Along with the family support, there is significant benefit in the long term to get close to where they were before the stroke.
Okay, I've never known. So the therapy and the treatments like this, do they re-educate the brain or stimulate more brain cells? Do they do both?
So in the latest literature and the research that I've shown is brain cells do start picking up function, and they are modifiable, and they regain function partially. So we are training the brain cells, different brain cells that are there adjacent to the stroke area, okay, that starts picking up function, as well as start building muscle strength to gain the function.
So does it also need to have good nutrition and good other factors to help the individual recover from their stroke and get more quickly back to being well?
Yes. So risk factors are there before the stroke, but if we control the risk factors after the stroke as well, that has huge benefit in getting the patient closer and reducing the disability. So if your sleep apnea was not treated before, but there's still room to treat it after the stroke and get the symptoms better. And along with that, nutrition is very crucial, and that's why we try to get the nutrition while the patient is in the hospital.
So quickly tell our listeners about sleep apnea, because I know a lot of people out there are possibly diagnosed with that and probably getting CPAPs, et cetera. So that leads to possible strokes?
So the sleep apnea, what it is when we lay down, our muscles in the throat are relaxed and they close down the airway. For that while, our brain cells are not getting enough oxygen. And it's a number of, we put in number of hours, but it is not a quality sleep that we have. That raises our risk for high blood pressure, atrial fibrillation, heart attack, and even stroke. So what CPAP essentially does, it pushes the air to navigate that obstruction that is caused by our just face structure.
Okay, that's a good point. I mean, a lot of people probably haven't been evaluated for that through sleep studies, et cetera, right, Doc? And that's how you determine whether you have a need of, and probably other risk, other factors that you might have as well, correct?
Yes, the initial one and the very easy to catch is just loud snoring and stopping breathing in the middle of the night or snorting. And the other would be to feeling tired in spite of putting in the entire 8 hours of sleep and even getting tired during the daytime.
Oh, interesting as well. So what would you say if they're feeling uncomfortable about recovering from the stroke and preventing future stroke? You tell them to watch those risk factors and change their lifestyles, et cetera, including reducing smoking?
Yes. So the first and foremost is to put as much willpower behind getting the therapy that they can get, along with family support. And the risk factors, which would be diabetes, so blood glucose control, stopping smoking, and getting blood pressure under control, would be the major ones to improve the outcome.
Just as a quick follow-up, I had a guest on my show a few weeks ago. It was a statewide and national campaign for reduced smoking, and it's sadly, in the state of Louisiana, we're not achieving as much reduced smoking as we should. And I can attest that I've known several individuals who've had strokes and rehab and et cetera, and they went back to smoking. It's so sad, right?
Yes, it is highly addictive. And after some point, the patients and the people around population, they realize that it's not benefiting, but they can't get away from it. So they need to put their foot down at some point, realize that this is
not
helping.
That's a good point.
And there are some ways, and Oxford does provide support for smoking cessation program, which helps the population.
Well, I hope every doctor that they see of individual that's smoking will tell them, why don't you consider a smoke cessation program? So I know a lot of them are successful, but a lot of people, are scared to utilize the program. I've been promoting it for years. I don't smoke. All my parents and all my relatives all smoke, but I did not smoke. And I saw the curtailment. And if you stop smoking at any age, it will definitely help. I think we're going to talk about that in a second. So thank you. That was very educational for me, and I know my listeners out there appreciate it. So hold that thought. We'll be right back. back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana, any Bears, Town & Country, or Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana, a Bears, Town & Country, Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I thank you for taking time to listen to our show today. Joining me on my show are some special guests from Ochsner LSU Health here in Shreveport to discuss the areas of stroke, heart disease, and diabetes. In these three areas, this particular hospital, our wonderful hospital, Ochsner LSU Health in Shreveport, was recognized by the American Heart Association for achieving particular accolades in these three areas. So we've already discussed stroke, and now we're going to move on to an interesting topic with Dr. Kalgi Modi, who is an interventional cardiologist with Ochsner LSU Health, and she's going to discuss heart disease. So what should first of all, Dr. Modi, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, Gary, for having us here, and congratulations to all my colleagues here today and Ochsner LSU Health and partners and providers and physicians, and most importantly, patients out there, the community out there, who is the one that, you know, make us achieve those milestones. So thank you for having us here. And yeah, as you said, I'm Dr. Kalgi Modi. I'm a cardiologist at LSU Ochsner Health. And actually, my important role is teaching the medical students, residents, and fellows. And that's what makes us unique and special in the area to make a better doctor for future, because those are the ones be taking care of us.
That's right.
I'm already old, so
no,
I want to make sure that, you know, they are out there and prepared to take care of our community. So thank you for having us.
Well, we're going to talk about seniors and boomers out here. So what should they know about heart disease and why it's such a critical issue for seniors and boomers out there?
It's important, very, very important thing to talk about, because all of us, we know or we may not know that cardiovascular, I know it's a mouthful, but we can break it down. It's called atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. And I know you told me not to use acronym, but we'll break it down. So cardiovascular means related to heart and blood vessels.
Right.
And we covered about the blood vessels earlier when we talk about the stroke. So it's the heart and vascular systems are connected to each other. So they are not in silos. So I'm glad we are talking together as a group to combat this cardiovascular disease. And atherosclerosis means the pipes. Mm-hmm. The pipes, the blood vessels that runs throughout the body and also on the heart, they get, you know, kind of rusty. As time goes by, we all get older, and age is something that we didn't inherit. You know, it is something that unavoidable, that as you get older, you accumulate these risk factors for heart disease, and you develop this, you know, blood vessels hardening. So that's something important as seniors, that, you know, it's something you're going to develop, and you have to recognize the signs, or most importantly, how to prevent it, because you start off early when you are in college and working and don't think about it. That's when it's developing. That's the time you start thinking about prevention.
So the heart does weaken over time, even though you're doing a lot of exercises. It's still not going to be working as good at 74 that it did at 21, correct?
That's yes and no. Because actually, it's not more of your chronological age. It's a biological age, what's happening inside your body. And you'll be amazed to see. And actually, I have, you know, my patients, you know, my loved patients in the clinic who are in their 90s, but they look like 60s.
Wow.
So that's very important that, you know, it's not time that's going to make the heart weak. It's a risk factor. I know we talked about that essential eight, the American Heart Association really focuses on this essential eight risk factor that we call, and those are your diabetes, how is your blood sugar, how is your blood pressure, how is your cholesterol, so know your numbers, and most importantly, the blood pressure we talked about, and obesity. The weight, something to watch. So those are the something called the modifiable risk factor. That's something you can contribute to make it better or prevent, you know, heart disease. And then others are your, you know, how you have to keep moving, movement. I don't say exercise. I think people feel like exercise means, you know, I have to really do join the gym and have expense associated with that. But simply moving around your house, your neighborhood, in your community, that's really changes your risk. Sleep, I think we talked about it, it's important. That's recently added by American Heart Association, that actually having at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep each night is very important to prevent heart disease. And smoking, we touched base on that, and we'll talk more about it as the show goes on. And then nutrition, that's my favorite, because, you know, you can really do a lot by eating healthy. So those are the essential eight for preventing cardiovascular disease at any age, even at the age in your 70s and 80s.
But, doctor, another important factor is the individual may not be looking for signs and symptoms of heart disease or heart and that what they should be, right? And taking action, as we talked to the doctor before about stroke, quicker is better than waiting for it years later on down that had these particular issues, right?
Yeah. So definitely, you know, you do what you can best. You have a good primary care provider. If needed, you can see the heart doctor, call cardiologist, and prevent. But be also aware about knowing the signs and symptoms of the heart disease, and which can be vague. People say chest pain or chest pressure, but not necessarily everyone would experience that. We know that, you know, women, elderly women, and people, you know, with diabetes, they may not have a chest pressure, and they may just have a back pain, or maybe I couldn't do what I was doing 2 weeks ago. So change in your symptoms, something you want to be really watching out for. Back pain, you know, shortness of breath, some people just have a swelling, who's developing heart failure. So those are the symptoms you can be watching out, or your family members can be watching out.
So if you have family history of heart disease, that's a critical factor?
That's true. It's something that we always teach our students and residents, that important to talk about family history. Some people may not even know about family history. Thanksgiving just passed by.
That's right.
That is a very important time when you are on the dinner table with your extended family members to talk about, you know, what's their concerns are and what runs in our family. And that's something is there. It's genetic. And people say you cannot do anything about it. But that, along with the risk factor, it still is something that you can prevent. So even with the genetic and family history, 80% of the cardiovascular disease are preventable.
So let's talk about treatments available. That of course they need to go to a physician or go to a clinic that recognizes and can deal with heart disease. Correct?
Correct. Yeah.
And what should these centers have to provide, like Ossner LSU Health has? What should they have?
So I talk about, you know, heart disease, so we talked about cardiovascular disease has a major four elements, and I kind of give analogy of your house, if you think about it. So the entire big house is like a muscle. Heart is a muscle, it's a pumping constantly as we're talking about it. And within that house, so big muscle, so we can have a disease or heart muscle problem, which is heart failure. And then within the house, you can think about, oh, I have a plumbing, right? You have plumbing system in the heart, so blocking of the artery is the plumbing problem. And then you have electricity in the house. So we have a specialized doctors who takes care of the heart rhythm and arrhythmias. And then you have doors in the house, and I call those are the valves.
Oh, and then that analogy
is a valvular heart disease. So I think a simple way to think about you're in house, and we do have a specialized in each of this area to provide the best of the cardiovascular care for our patients.
So are there, and I'm sure my listeners, are there indicators once you visit your primary cardiologist, he or she will say you might need a test to see an echo test or whatever, or a stress test, et cetera, to determine if we need further evaluation. Is that right?
Yeah, echo is my favorite because it's something portable. It's there is no radiation involved. It's quick. It doesn't hurt. And it gives a lot of information about the function of the heart. We talked about the doors, the valves of the heart. But stress test is something also we can provide at Ochsner LSU Health. And this test are available within our clinic. So patient doesn't even have to go to another facility or distance. We can provide such the testing within our clinic system. And blood tests, we talked about essential eight. We can check the cholesterol, check your blood pressure. We actually also have digital blood pressure monitoring through our primary care clinics. And that is something so important. 60%, and my particular interest is the pregnancy and cardiovascular disease. And the women, 60% of the African-American women out there have blood pressure that they're not aware of.
Wow.
So through this digital blood pressure monitoring, we can really tackle the blood pressure, which leads to a lot of cardiovascular disease. I'm so proud of, to provide such digital technology in this area.
And they need to get it done often, too. I mean, they can visit various pharmacies that have some of them free of charge there they can monitor, but also, you know, going to the clinic, visiting the doctor. Hopefully everybody takes their blood pressure. Well, let's hope they do.
Yeah,
right?
And American Heart Association actually had a campaign about measuring blood pressure in barbershop. So
that's a great idea.
I think about that, you know, why not? You know, we really care about our outlook and beauty and hair, and have a blood pressure monitoring there, something we can check. You're relaxed and you can know your numbers.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you an interesting question. So if a cardiologist determines that you have high blood pressure, And the doctor is going to say, Gary, you need to take blood pressure medicine. Is it still a trial and error situation about there must be millions of different types of medicines that can treat blood pressure, right? There are lots of them.
Yeah.
How does the doctor determine which of these particular medicines and the dosage to give an individual patient?
Excellent question, and that's where the guideline that we are talking about in, you know, center get recognized, because we are aware of what's been tested and researched in millions of people, and what works for one ethnicity may not work for another ethnicity. So we are aware of that data, and first thing is first, we always want to make sure this is not a white coat hypertension. We call it blood pressure going
very
up
good.
In doctor's clinic. That's why the digital blood pressure monitoring is important. Always we want to give a lifestyle changing trial first, and then we have an array of blood pressure medicine, but now we have narrow it down to something that works on the blood vessels, to relax blood vessels. Something we call taking the fluid off of the body also really works well. So tiny amount of change in your diet with a low sodium intake and having a pill that get rid of the fluid from the body, that works well.
Okay, so, but it's still trial and error.
It is, but we have to give it a trial of a good amount of time.
But the patient needs to give feedback to the doctor if it's not working, right?
So true, because one of the medication out there called, I'm going to just say name, amlodipine, and the most common side effect is swelling on the feet, and patient might think, oh my gosh, I have a heart failure. But it's one of the common side effects of the medication. So it's good to know the feedback from the patient when they're encountering concern or a side effect from the medication.
Because I know a lot of people out there on blood pressure medicine, and occasionally they get weird symptoms and weird side effects, and they're reluctant. Let me just try this for many more weeks before I call my doctor, which I don't think they should, really, right?
Yeah. I think the close follow-up frequent visits to your primary care provider and cardiologist. And having in the area of digital technology, you know, telemedicine, that's something now you can get on your phone and through your My Ochsner LSU charts, you can schedule a televisit. And then that you can talk about your symptoms, your blood pressure running. That can avoid transportation issues and yet be in touch with your healthcare provider.
Okay, so one more follow up question. In more of technology, I know that cholesterol is a big factor, and I will speak for myself because I've had some high cholesterol issues. So I went to my cardiologist recently, and he said, Gary, I want you to try this new injection. I can't remember what it's called. It starts with an EV, and it's injected every 6 months. Mm-hmm. And it's working remarkably.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, it wasn't available. Statins were available, have been around. I had bad indications, and I know many people have had bad problems with statins. And so this is the latest that's not statins, et cetera, et cetera. And it's remarkable out there. And hopefully some of the insurers do cover it. Some of them do not. But the technology is changing each and every month. This wasn't available 6 months ago, and now it's available. That true?
It's amazing. This is a 100 year of American Heart Association celebration. Recently, we had last month, and things that were not available. We talked about the stroke, how that has evolved. The therapy in cardiovascular disease, thing that when I was in training was not available, like a valve treatment or taking care of the blockages or even transplant. And the cholesterol medication wise, it's been wazoo out there. Remarkable that injectable, you talked about PCSK9 inhibitor, that's what it calls. Repatha is one of the medication out there, and that's something you can inject twice a year, but that again I think is appropriate when you have a side effect. The most important thing, we don't want to take the motivation away from the patient. That, yes, the therapy is there, but you have to also keep that motivation of daily activity to combat those risk factors.
And to eat right. And to eat less cholesterol-free items in your body. You want the drug to keep having to fight, do it a team effort, right?
Correct. Yeah. So Mediterranean diet, and I'm going to just put the plug out there, has been really got a lot of attention. And the reason is that because it has a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. You go in a grocery and try to get the fresh fruits and vegetables, try to increase your intake of the good source of protein.
Okay.
So that's something, that really fish, is a good source of omega-3. So that's something you can have in your diet, and that can help reduce the cardiovascular risk factors. Anything that, kind of fat, which is solid at room temperature, you probably want to stay away from that.
So one more follow-up question, which I think my listeners out there want to hear you say, is I have these seniors and boomers that tell me they're in their 80s and 90s. Why should I quit smoking, Gary? Even though I have some heart disease, I have diabetes. Tell them that stopping smoking at any age is positive, correct?
You are 100% right. Absolutely. At any age, risk factors, especially smoking, you want to stay away from that, because any days of the less smoking is, again, preventing that heart muscle from dying and blockage from getting worse.
Well, good. Yeah. Again, thank you. Hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Bears Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana And Hebert's Town and Country Report, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Joining me on my show today are special guests from the Ochsner LSU Health Here in Shreveport to discuss the areas of stroke, heart disease, and diabetes. We've talked about stroke and heart disease, and now we're going to talk about diabetes with Dr. Evelyn Pryor, who is an internal medicine physician with the Ochsner LSU Health. So thank you for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes. So like you said, I'm Evelyn Pryor. I'm an internal medicine physician. We are to adults what pediatrics is to kids. And so our goal is to prevent disease from happening in the first place. I'm in my 25th year of doing this. And
25 years?
Yes.
You look like you're in your 20s. Okay.
Thank you. I am from Georgia, went to the Medical College of Georgia, but my great-grandfather, Solomon Powell, was actually one of the first African-American physicians here in Shreveport.
Wow.
And my husband is from Shreveport, and so now we are here.
Awesome. We're glad to have you here. Glad to have you here and glad to have you part of the LSU, Ochsner LSU family there. So tell us a little bit, what should seniors know about diabetes and the impact on their health?
Well, so number one, diabetes is very prevalent in this area. In Shreveport, we are about 33% more likely to have diabetes compared to others in the United States.
Is that hereditary issue or food we eat, the rich foods, et cetera, all of the above?
It's a combination, but definitely type 2 diabetes has a very strong genetic predisposition. So type 2 diabetes is what we used to think of as adult onset, but basically it's a situation where your body is no longer responding to the insulin that you have as well, and the blood sugars go up.
Wow. So what are the common symptoms of diabetes that people, we hope they're going to get tested out there even before the symptoms, but what are some of the symptoms?
So in general, you can think of the symptoms as things that your body is doing to try to get rid of the blood sugar, so you can start to urinate a lot. The body is just literally trying to pee off the excess sugar. That can result in thirst, and so people get very thirsty. You can have abdominal pain. Because you're not able to properly metabolize the glucose, the sugar, from the food, people can get very tired. They're fatigued. Essentially, starving, and so one of the main things that we see is unintentional weight loss.
Wait a second. I've never heard that before. Unintentional weight loss, but most people that I've seen with diabetes are obese or overweight.
In the beginning stages, definitely, but as
the beginning stages,
right? But as you go on and are unable to metabolize the food that you're eating,
you can lose weight.
So basically, kind of like what everyone is saying, you know, a lot of these diseases are definitely more prevalent the older we get.
Okay.
But when I see an older person lose weight, whether or not they've lost it on a diet, one of the first things I'm thinking about is diabetes.
Okay. So how do you manage diabetes? First of all, make sure we're testing. How often should a person be tested for diabetes? If they've got it, how often should they test?
So for people who do not have diabetes, we like to check with a hemoglobin A1C, which is the average blood sugar over a three-month period, every 3 years. Once people are in the pre-diabetic range, which is any hemoglobin A1C between 5.7 and 6.4, we test annually. And then for people who are diabetic, we check that value every 6 months.
Okay, Gary's going to ask us a stupid question here because I think I've asked this to my doctors and they couldn't explain. So how does this test, the A1C, go back 3 months in my body and tells me, is there like a recording statement in my brain that...
Well, you could think of it like that. So what we look for is a senescent red blood cell. So red blood cells are traveling in the circulatory system.
Right.
And they can live to about 90 days.
Oh,
so
that's
why. So we choose the cells that have been around for 90 days and measure the glucose that have accumulated in those cells.
So this test looks at those 90 days... Wow. Nobody ever, I don't think anybody, hopefully everybody learned this though, because I have never heard this, and none of my doctors, because I think I've asked them. I said, oh, it just knows how to do it. And then it knows how to do it, and your body knows how to tell it.
Like, I have 13 patients waiting outside.
Well, that was something brainstorming for me. Well, thank you, Doc, for explaining that to me. Now I'm going to tell my cardiologist and my endocrinologist about that as well. And he said, well, you didn't ask specific. Go ahead. I'm sorry. We're going offline here. So once they determine a person is diabetic, so then how often, depending on the value, does it get worse? Can it get better?
Well, the
can you ever get off of diabetes? Can you ever not having?
Well, for all intents and purposes, yes. Your risk factor may not go back to someone who was never diabetic in the first place just because of the time that your blood vessels were being exposed to the elevated blood sugars. But definitely, we are in an age, we were talking about medical advancements. We have so many great diabetes medicines now that are actually good for you and can get diabetes under control and can maintain that control for a lifetime.
Well, that's remarkable itself. So, and again, the testing used to be very difficult. I remember when I was in home health, we had to go out there and test all of our patients, et cetera, we're using all these sticks and et cetera, and also giving them insulin. And now it's getting more easy, right?
It's very easy. You can do a finger stick right in the office.
The other thing is when seniors have that, you as healthcare providers and your staff and nurses have to educate them, right? On eating healthier, et cetera, and personalized plans.
Absolutely. So I think that is one of the main things that led to this recognition is that we are a multidisciplinary group of people coming together for this purpose. So we have diabetes educators, we have endocrinologists, we have nurse practitioners. One of the things that's very unique, we talked about our digital medicine program for hypertension. We have that for diabetes as well. So when you come to visit us, we can give you the blood sugar machine, hook you up right through the My Ochsner app, so you will be monitored in real time.
Wow.
And the experts that are looking at this include residency-trained clinical pharmacologists who are experts in the pharmacology of the medications. They know exactly what's going on with you and are able to adjust your medications in real time if need be. So you don't have to wait for your next office visit to be managed, but also lifestyle. Our diabetes educator team is amazing. They do virtual visits also. They do in-person visits. So
going back to when you said you're monitoring, so you can tell them to use more. It tells them to use more or less the medication, more or less of insulin? That's what it's telling?
If people are on insulin, absolutely. Our goal these days is really to have fewer people on insulin. So insulin does require intensive education and training. You've got to learn to count carbs, to try to approximate how insulin is delivered in the body, but these other medicines really don't require that. Okay. What you need to focus on is a healthy lifestyle.
Wow, that is why. One thing I was not aware, if you have diabetes, you have a higher risk in getting heart issues?
Absolutely.
We didn't talk about that. Really?
So what we're kind of the theme is really blood vessels, and that's why the American Heart Association is recognizing us for paying attention to the health of blood vessels. So high blood pressure is very bad for blood vessels. So is diabetes. So is cholesterol. And all of those things, what they have in common is that they can lead to atherosclerosis and other problems in the blood vessels that will lead to these diseases.
So one other follow-up question. Can you get diabetes later in life?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Diabetes is more common as we get older, like heart disease and stroke. So young people, we're seeing more and more with type 2 diabetes because of our lifestyles. But as we get older, the risk for diabetes increases.
So the quick monitor is the blood glucose, and when your physician draws your blood to test your blood glucose, is that one of the factors determining if you have a high level that you might be in early stage of diabetes at a later age?
Right. So we definitely look at the blood glucose level, but we primarily look at the hemoglobin A1C. We look at that average blood sugar over the past 3 months, and that will let us know.
So that's probably the gold standard. And so,
it is.
So now we look at the 90 days of my particular blood cells. And so I was wondering why he does both when they do both, and I was curious. So they do, generally they do both, right?
Right, but if we were to check blood sugars off of people just getting off of a cruise, for instance, quite a few of them may technically qualify to have diabetes. But
or you go to the donut shop and you eat that donut, right. It's really going to be spiking as well. So in closing, any other advice to our seniors and boomers and listeners out there about diabetes and diabetes control? And of course, you're going to mention not smoking. We're going to help. We're going to promote that all through all the areas.
And I just can't emphasize our smoking cessation team enough. These ladies are people who used to smoke, and they have taken a really positive approach to smoking cessation. They give prizes. They're just so positive. And so far this year, we've already gotten over 10% of our patient population in Northwest Louisiana to quit smoking.
Awesome.
So we're really proud That's of that.
That's a great success story there as well. Okay, and one more thing in closing, I'll ask all three of y'all. I am amazed about gene therapy, et cetera, et cetera. And all these areas, is there medical research regarding our genes and that might be causing diabetes, might be causing a higher risk of smoke, and might be causing heart issues? Are there research being done in that already?
Yeah, absolutely. So for cardiovascular disease, we have identified a whole host of genes that are responsible for heart failure. Oh. They are responsible for the thickening cholesterol, thickening of the heart blood vessels and heart muscles. We do not have yet a gene-specific therapy. We have some medication they are tailoring to the gene that causes problem, but directly silencing gene. Actually, let me take it back. Actually, we do have a one gene silencing therapy for high cholesterol. Oh. But definitely field is advancing to identify your risk factor based on genes, to identify gene associated with if you have a disease that you're going to have an adverse outcome in 10, 20, 30 years. So you are at higher risk because you have this gene of dying from cardiovascular disease. Mm. And then now tackling therapy, pharmacological therapy for silencing the gene. But I look forward to in next 20 years when my residents take over to have a gene-targeted therapy for cardiovascular disease.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, again, thank you, ladies, and thank you, docs and gentlemen, for being on our show today. You educated me, and I know you're educating my many thousands and thousands of loyal listeners out there. So best wishes to you for continued success. And, again, my complete congratulations and honors. Be sure to share that back with your compatriots back at Austin LSU Health. Thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Please join us next Saturday for another show that could benefit you or your loved ones. Don't forget to pick up your personal copy of The Best of Times in one of our 270 distribution locations. May God bless you and your family. God bless America. Have a great day and a great weekend. Thank you again for listening to our show. I'm Gary Kaligas wishing you and yours the best of times both today and every day. Have a great day.